Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Celebrity Book Club.
Hello, I'm Stephen Kojo Karu of People Magazine here at the VH1 Emmys pre-show awards sponsored by Charmin. And we are talking to all the celebrities. That's right, the primped and the pulled and the tucked. Uh-oh, here comes Nicole Kidman. Nicole! What's it like being married to Tom Cruise?
Oh, hello. Wonderful, can't complain.
That acerbic Australian wit, I love it. Who are you wearing?
This is actually a L'Enfant. It's from 1948.
Thank you, Nicole. Good luck. Get out of here. Oh, my God, it's Angie Harmon. Angie, I love you.
Who are you wearing, honey?
Oh, my God. Stop it. Angie, you're going to be in my wedding, and I'm going to make a handbag out of you. I'm wearing Roberto Cavalli everything because I'm obsessed. Why do you look so good? I wish you were my mom.
Oh, my God. Stop it. I look disgusting.
Okay. You and me are doing shots of vodka later. I love you, Angie.
Love you, Steven. Mwah.
Oh, my God. Look who it is. Vern Troyer. Hey, Vern. Congratulations on the new Austin Powers movie.
Hey, Derek Zoolander.
Hey, Vern, tell me, are you getting a lot of ladies post-Austin Powers?
Oh, I'm getting so much pussy. I bet you know a lot about that.
Yeah, I certainly do. Talk to my cat about it. Wait, Vern, okay, out of all the celebrities here, who do you want to bang?
Starting with the list, Hilary Swank at number one. Number two, Renee Zellweger. Number three, Heather Graham. Number four, Jennifer Lopez. I love her.
Isn't she hot? She is a hot, slutty little lady, and I totally get it. I wouldn't mind waking up next to her. And Hilary Swank, damn, that jawline could cut glass. Hello. Okay, wait, Vern, please, before you go, who are you wearing?
I'm wearing Bill Blass, and yes, I got it tailored.
All right, get out of here, Vern. I'm Stephen Kojo Karu, live from the VH1 2002 Emmy Pre-Show Awards presented by Charmin. When we come back, Jennifer Connelly and Tom Green. Stick around.
Who's that knocking at the door? It's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood.
It's books.
It's gossip.
I'm shook.
It's memoirs.
It's martinis.
It's Studio 54.
It's Celebrity Book Club. Come read it while it's hot. Celebrity Book Club. Tell your secrets, we won't talk.
Celebrity Book Club.
No boys are allowed.
Celebrity Book Club.
Book Club.
Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Hey, best friend!
You look deadly today.
You look amazing. You took my breath away. I said, who is that Grecian goddess?
And let me tell you, your outfits have an
always been amazing. I remember in 1985, you were wearing polyester collars, fur made of old dogs.
Honey, my outfit was so flammable, the Coast Guard had to put a warning up.
What is up, my friend Stephen Phillips Horse? We are back in the studio after our
crazy West Coast tour.
Which you'll be hearing about
in the VIP lounge,
which is now on
Friday. Yeah, we're going to talk all about, honestly, the craziness that went down in San Francisco and Los Angeles, give you sort of some real dirt on the underbelly.
Yeah, which you didn't see at the live shows.
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
You didn't hear about the people we met, the people we fucked,
the hotel rooms we went to,
the updated motor lodges that we stayed at, and there were multiple.
But we're not here to talk about San Francisco. We're going back to basics, yeah. You know? With the book today.
I know. We're reading a book that's in many ways sort of a mirror.
Yeah, a mirror of like the careers we hope to have, and I think now are
we kind of are having.
Are having it in, you know, different media, the media of today. And also this is a book that definitely we've been passing back and forth.
No, this dog-eared copy. Oof. We only have one because again, we, you know, our Patreon subscriber base is not large enough that we can always afford a book for each of us.
A new book, no.
Yeah, so sometimes we have to just go for the old tattered copy.
You know, as we say, what's on the bookshelf right now?
Yeah.
Anyway, what book are we talking about this week?
Of course, none other than...
None other.
Really,
Than
Red Carpet Diaries, Confessions of a Glamour Boy, subtitle... by
Stephen Kojokaru.
Stephen Kojokaru, if you don't remember because you're not a sort of washed millennial, you might not remember
if
this.
If you didn't grow up on AOL, flare jeans, and Tamagotchis.
Yeah, if you don't remember the frozen yogurt craze of 2002, you might not remember this red carpet fixture.
Maven.
Just like kind of like one of the first kind of insane faggots to get like to be on national television.
Yeah, to really land, you know, before you're Ross Matthews.
Yeah.
And your Tan Francis.
Before they were a dime a dozen. And he's obviously way more insane than Ross or Tan.
Yeah. Carson Kressley is like calm compared to Stephen Kojokaru.
Yeah.
So he was like an at-large West Coast editor for People magazine. His titles are so amazing. His job. It's like one, and it's like he was a contributor for Us, but like they didn't rehire him.
Yeah, and he's always just like, I was like the second or like the fourth stringer on an article for People when he writes that one sentence about Jennifer Tilly and it's just a quote.
Yes, from, the Tilly quote.
From Tilly. just her being like, and I chose this dress because it was blue and I love the color blue.
The other thing he did was like he was on Joan's like iconic show, Fashion Police, and did her red carpet reviews.
He did red carpet reviews. Well, yeah, let's get... But that's like you probably...
Later.
You know him from being like...
Random
and red carpet. And you know, and this, again, this was in Joan Rivers' era when...
They actually had like sassy people.
They actually had real sassy red carpet commentary. Because now it's just like Kristen Cavallari and like Juliana Rancic being so psycho and like... Adderall pilled and just being like, what are you wearing? That's amazing. Oh my God, I love your movie. Oh my God, I love that new movie. Oh, yes, like, yes, Lupita Nyong'o, you look incredible. I'm obsessed with your TV show. Yeah. Can't wait to see what you do next. Goodbye. And they're just like freaking out and like, there's no, and it's all like so positive and they never criticize like anyone. And also like, let's be honest, stars all dress kind of boring now.
Thank you. Right. Like no one, there's not even really a need for that like Us Weekly back page that's like, where did she get that at like the cat? Sale.
I mean, they're still obviously yes. doing Fashion Police and Us and like doing like
and it's like Ariana Grande like wearing just like a puffy like silver piece and they're like, what was she thinking in the like spaceship?
Yeah, it's always just like, sorry, you're supposed to put tinfoil on food, not on your body. It's mostly just puns.
Stephen Kojokaru, who I didn't realize is Romanian.
Yeah.
Romanian-Canadian.
So his parents are like Romanian-Jewish. Like his mother was just like, Bucharest is the Paris of Romania. Yeah. And she moved to Israel.
Where she met his old Romanian father. And she snagged that hunk of meat. And like, but always... like she had another boyfriend or something, and he was like, and she ditched him for my
dad. She was dating this guy, Larry, who was a rat exterminator in Tel Aviv, or like Haifa, and he was like the exterminator of Haifa. And then she would always threaten, like when they got in a fight, just being like, I could have been with Larry.
And then her dad is like, well, then you'd smell like rat poison all day.
Just sounds like a charming,
Total like old married couple.
Old married couple, old Jewish, Montreal, Israel-Romanian couple.
Israel-Romanian.
And he's always making fun of just like the Romanian diaspora in Montreal. And now he's just like, I was at Ruby Foo's for my bar mitzvah like pre-dinner. And it was just like so many sturdy Romanian women with chin hair. And like the most massive bosoms you've ever seen. Just like each tit was bigger than an airplane. Hanger.
The way this book is written is really iconic and just like absolutely completely insane from the start. It's so conversational in the Terry Hatcher way, but also is written in just like crazy gay speak.
Yeah, it's just like crazy gay joke. Like, I was puny olive oil with arms and legs the width of dental floss. Homely didn't begin to cover it. Just like everything is this like slightly dated reference that's like really one-liner.
Yeah, it's all like zingers, and which, you know, goes to the old Borscht Belt Romanian Jewish comedic circuit.
Well, and you know,
his parents love Seinfeld.
Yeah. And he kind of, it looks like Jerry Seinfeld a little bit in the 80s when he, before he just like permanently starts flat ironing his hair and becomes, basically this book is like secretly just about what happens when you become addicted to flat ironing your hair.
And you have a little bit of experience with that.
I did, but I walked away from the flat iron, although very occasionally before an event, you always see me like grabbing the flat iron.
Yeah, I always see you like, before our show in LA, you were like, I just hear you scream, where's Maddie's flat iron? And it's just like, we don't have the time for you to burn your hair right now. And all of a sudden, it's like the barbecue scent starts wafting into the...
No, it's this weird thing that I share because like, well, okay, A, I am like part Jewish randomly. And as I
recently found...
Like, my grandmother, my dad's side, like, revealed that she was a quarter Jewish.
And you finally made sense.
They do. And I was also raised in Newton, which is, like, a Jewish suburb. And I think there's something in the water. And as I also found out recently, I'm, like, literally Ukrainian. So, fuck Putin.
Thank you.
And it was, like, my great-grandfather actually, like, moved to Odessa. But Odessa is also, like, this very kind of, like, Jewish comedy town, I read on some article once.
Okay, we need to tour there.
But I think that, you know, so that sort of sense of humor, I think, is definitely
passed down.
And it's in the culture, and it's in the greater Montreal, the bedroom community.
Right, it also sounds very, that can be, like, so many insane dressmakers. And also, he was going to the mall, like... He would.
Okay, this is
his shopping was so.
It was so
crazy.
Psycho gay, and I'm just like, is this? I mean, the way that the whole book was just like, I'm reading my own memoir, where it was just like, and I loved going shopping with my mom at Elizabeth Hager.
Right, and he would bet, and he'd be like, oh no, don't take me to the Southern Montreal Mall today. That's the last thing I want to do.
And then he would be with his mom and just be like, Mom, you need to try a cigarette pan.
Oh yeah, Mom, you need to try a shift dress. Mom, slits don't work for you. Mom, you need to like wear things.
And this goes back to one of my, you know, one of my grand philosophical theories, which is that like, you know, gay men learn at a very young age that our sole purpose on this planet is to get women to buy things. And it's like, and the first woman we start with is our mother.
Right.
And then it continues and like, you know, we go on to work in branding and advertising.
And you tell, right, styling, branding,
interior design,
screaming at women, whether it's through text, through ad, through commercial, to buy something, to change something.
Yeah.
I mean, cut to us, Mark Jacobs.
Mark Jacobs.
No, cut Mark
to
by
me,
Mark.
Mark to me having an absolute gay panic meltdown on Newbury Street as a 17-year-old.
And you screaming at me that I needed to try on a boho skirt because like all the popular girls were wearing boho skirts. And you were like, just try it on. Why are you being so resistant? And I was just like, I just know boho skirts aren't for me. And you're like, just fucking try it on! straightened hair. Your face is fully orange. You have like makeup coming up on your kimonos.
I was going to Planet Bronze every day and then putting bronzer like on top of my acne, rubbing off on the kimono. Hair fried to within an inch of its life. It was so Montreal of us. But the irony of me throwing you in those boho skirts was that at that time your gender was like pencil skirt, and you
it
were
was not.
No, you were like wearing your checkered mini skirt and your Elfa skirt that you made. So you were being
like skirt. Yes, I had some skirts. You were, but they were
and
like.
I was seeing how constricted your movement was in those skirts. And I thought,
oh, you're calling me fat? No?
It's just those shirts don't. Those skirts don't allow a lot
but
of
they
leg
were
movement.
Like, right, like I
and
was,
I get that those were punk, but I was thinking, I wish that she could just roam freely.
You want me to be more of a hippie?
Big boho skirt.
Huge boho skirt. It would just bring you so much joy if we could stomp into the junior semi. You'd be like, yeah, that's right. My lesbian friend.
My lesbian friend can move.
Can move in this huge skirt. And like the way also some of his clothes. So he starts like. What I really related to is his other fashion moment where, again, it's like nothing changes. He would beg his parents to take him to Plattsburgh, which is like a town really upstate that I've stayed at in a motor lodge once. Like an old-timey Howard Johnson's.
Oh, wait, fab.
And it was so like a big like, old Chevy in the front permanently parked there.
And it's screaming for like a Junified Renault?
It's screaming. And it is like almost in Canada, so it's screaming for a Junified.
Wow, obsessed.
Anyway, he beg his parents to take him to Plattsburgh to buy like cowboy boots. And it's like you just go through those same things. And if you are like wanting to shop, you go through Western wear, you go for workwear. And then he wanted to buy like chambray prison shirts.
Well, and then he was like, and I got all of the popular girls in my high school. Like he quickly moved on to becoming the stylist for the whole high school, who was like, I would get everyone to be like, well, now we have to wear overalls, like railroad overalls, and we would go to workwear stores.
Yeah, and like buy all these vintage overalls. He also was
he was doing stolen Dickie's valor, like before
literally,
any of us.
For all of us.
Yeah.
And begging to like go on this like road trip to a random town, be like, just take me. I need the boots. I need like the Dickies. It's also classic, like he was D-list and then he like suddenly the popular girl finally decided to like him.
She anointed him.
Yeah, I mean, Shari.
And this is so me and Arabella, listener of the pod, where it was like, and now I'm remembering the one time when we went to France on the French trip and Arabella was like, she was like, I have to get boxing shoes. Because
what
just
are
like,
boxing shoes?
They're like sneakers that are like strappy, that have like.
Oh my God,
so
wait, I
up.
Remember
you
her
remember
wearing
this?
Boxing shoes.
And we like trolled Paris looking for boxing
for, like,
shoes.
Like, oh, boxing store?
Right, and
like,
it became also my mission. I was just like, we need to get Arabella boxing shoes. And we were like stomping the Champs-Élysées, like looking for shoes, and like ended up getting these shoes that weren't like, they were kind of like a modest boxing shoe. Like they
like,
weren't
not fully up to
no, it wasn't
like
such an like even like that like calf high. It was just like, you know, lower calf, like ankle high boxing shoe.
Which reminds me of another really alternative mid-2000s, say it with me, millennial trend, was to wear bowling shoes, like to steal bowling shoes in the bowling alley. I feel like that was very my high school.
That sounds very your high school.
Yeah, just being like, yeah, stole these from Lanes and Games. What?
I mean, my high school was too preppy, so like people would not be going to bowling alleys because that's like just
no,
too
just fucking sketchy.
I mean, bowling alleys are like inherently indie because they're retro.
They're retro, so you can like used to be able to smoke there.
Us.
Right. And you sit there and smoke cigarettes and talk shit and like you're not invited to the popular party, so you have to go to a bowling alley.
Which is badass, a space where you can be accepted. Wait, weren't you like on the bowling team?
I joined a bowling team and only went twice, and then the bowling.
But you like still put it on your college resume or whatever?
Yeah, I still put it on my resume today. Anyway, it got too intense, and of course it was also at 9 a.m., and I was just like, well, I don't totally need to do this. Just to finish up his popular thing, then he like he became friends with the popular girl, but then like got back at the popular girl and like took her down a notch because she bullied some like poorer girl for like wearing her hand-me-downs.
But then he like was friends with her. I feel like he was like, she thought like she was a bully, but
I'm
then,
just saying that's classified. He like played them, but like still was friends with both of them. And like,
yeah, I was just like friends with all the girls and wanted to be a girl because he's a gay guy. Obviously, this whole book is like him being an insane faggot. But in the very beginning, when he's talking about how Donatella put a cigarette out of my fur coat. So now would be a good time to head on to the balcony of this temple where Donatella and the other nicotine junkies are squeezed together. She's standing beside me, sucking on a cigarette and speaking with her hands to minions. I don't interrupt, preferring to have a smoke and maybe do a little eavesdropping. As I'm puffing away grandly and starting to get lost in my head, like, this
not
is...
Not puffing away grandly.
Like, this is so gay. Like, I'm just like, this is so me, just like at a party. And
like
I'm just
smoking,
like,
and you're like in a new, like, members only
my
jacket.
Members only jacket. It's 2003. I'm at the Bowery Hotel. It's 2007. As I'm puffing away grandly, some guy starts hitting me and screeching in a foreign tongue. My immediate thought is, I'm being pounded on by an envious party maggot because I look so fetching tonight. I'm wrong. Your gut is on fire, the accented pretty boy is screaming as he swats my sleeve until the flame is out. Her blondness had been accidentally flecking her burning cinders onto my coat. My plush cover-up is on loan from the top vintage boutique in Los Angeles. It's like, everything is just like a loaned, insane feather coat.
Back to the hair. It becomes, so it's curly and like mullety in the 80s, and then it turns into kind of like an asymmetrical, almost electro clash.
Like lower, like side bangs.
Yeah, side bangs, shorter on one side.
But it's also being very feathered in Mom in this way.
Yeah, it's like it's Farrah Fawcett, but Kate Gosling.
But it's like, yeah, but it's this short, like...
But it's also just like Bikini Kill somehow, like...
It is really insane. Okay, well, let's just talk about the hair and
let's
the face.
Yeah, okay.
And let's
so,
get into it. So, Stephen Kojocaro
is a crazy-looking person.
I think he has maybe genetically the gayest face that science has produced.
Yes. And we talk about a lot how, like, gay face just is genetic. Is you were born with gay face if you are gay.
Yeah. And I think that, like...
Like, you have a bigger...
Forehead,
and I have a small mouth, so I can't give blowjobs.
Right, exactly. A dick will not fit in there, and that's okay. And, you know, gay guys have pronounced Adam's apples and, like, all this stuff, and, like, and big gay teeth, or tiny gay teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
Normal-sized teeth are usually not the vibe. And he has, like, the largest gay teeth in history. He has more teeth than I've ever seen.
He does look like a beautiful horse.
Yeah. And it's really...
A
and
Palomino,
like,
if you will. Shout out by Miranda Lambert's new album, Palomino,
and
out
he
now.
Would, and he would like say this about himself. Yeah. He's always being just like, I look like Steven Tyler. Like, I look like Rod Stewart. Like, I look insane.
Right, he looks like these straight rock stars who were doing a more femme thing.
Because he's like, I've got like the biggest mouth this side of the Mississippi. And like, has huge lips in the Steven Tyler way. But here's the thing. So Stephen Kojocaro references his hair like almost every page. Obviously, it's like his biggest issue and like his biggest insecurity. And he had really... And like, I relate to this deeply. And
well, it makes gay guys like you go to... It's like you overdo it then. You go to the iron. You go to the keratin. You overprocess.
I mean, I've kind of like done this thing where I just like, you know, I usually just let it sit there. And I mostly try to cover it with a hat after I get out of the shower. And then it kind of mats it down. But there is still a bit of a wig and a bang that we
yeah,
that we know
and your
that I
panic
do.
With the post shower hat it's no, it can be calm, but it is very just kind of like I'll see you post shower, like looking for the hat, and it's kind of like if you can't find the hat post the shower, it's just it is kind of like crazy ravenous beaver like looking to burrow.
You know, when you see the ticking time bomb, you're like, we better find that hat.
Better find the hat, or it's not going to be a good one.
But he basically does this thing where it's like he has this like curly kind of fun hair in the 80s, and he's like has this Jewish mane that he just decides to start taming forever. And he just like flat irons it forever.
And he's still flat ironing.
And he's still flat ironing, and it really looks insane.
It looks so stiff,
it's
yet heavy.
And dry, and he's always talking about like, and honey, like when J-Lo's hairdresser gave me the secret product so that my hair wouldn't be frizzy, I said, how much time do you have? Because I only got 12 hours. It's always just like, he's always terrified that the frizz is going to start back up again, and is just like always looking for a way to tame it, and it's just like, maybe just let it be, and it'll be fine.
I wonder if he went to Justin Anderson, because it's like, or like a Ken, who's Jessica Simpson's hairdresser?
Ken Paves.
Yeah, like a Paves, like, what one of these other gays like would say, but I feel like almost in the way that he's probably like talking to all these random women being like, you need to let loose and let me take over.
Okay, but so then at the very end of the book, he's like, what would my own like fan fiction be like? And like the book ends with him being like, he gets like a record contract and he actually gets to be a rock star because like that's kind of like what informs his style of always wearing like
right, he wants to be a Steven
a tight
Tyler.
T-shirt and like insane bootcut jeans and like a fur coat. He toured the world and sang his heart out every night to thousands of adoring fans who wanted to sleep with him. Then he took the $50 million, minus a small amount for personal expenses, and donated it to a foundation that bankrolled the projects of creative misfits. He moved to Paris and became a respected poet. He let his hair air dry and never had to flat iron his naturally tousled mane again.
Did you start sobbing when you read this?
I did, because I was like, wait, that's so beautiful, and all that he wants deep down is to never flat iron again.
Yeah.
But he like can't stay away.
You can't stop. That's what it did. That isn't. And that's like, what the sign of madness is.
And I like.
You
had
know
this,
it's wrong.
You know it's wrong, but you keep doing it. And I had the same feeling when we read Andre Agassi, and he talked about the
shaving.
Shaving his head, and how it was this like really cathartic moment that he was finally able to be free of his insecurity around his hair. And I thought, one day I'll be able to do that.
And just shave it,
and just be like, it's over. It's all over.
Probably, it's so you to be like, well, I want to become a rock star, but not like really want to become, like, you want to say you want to become a rock star, but you don't actually want to become a rock star.
I really
star.
Just want to be rock, like a retired rock star living in Paris.
Yeah, living in Paris and like writing a book of satirical poems at a cafe looking over the Seine. One thing I want to say about him, he gets so wasted at his bar mitzvah where he chugs like 30 whiskey sours.
Yeah, at Ruby Foo's.
Which I really want to go to Ruby Foo's.
There was one at the Arsenal Mall, I want to say. Boston heads, like, speak up. Okay, that's another thing I want to say. Like, he's such an alcoholic in this very normal gay way where he's always like, so honey, I was backstage at the Pavilion. Chugging vodka tonics, waiting for Angie Harmon to come meet me.
And then he's like, and it's 2:45. Sure, so we're at the In Style party, but you know all I'm thinking about is getting to the Vanity Fair party. And at first I was wondering, I was like, oh, is he actually random, like, keeping it in control gay and sober? Because it's like he has to get to hair and makeup at 5:30.
No, he's too messy.
And then when he was like, oh, I'm having, like, so many vodka tonics, I was like, oh, you're just so wasted, and also like have an amazing tolerance, like a Canadian Romanian Jewish tolerance where you've had like now like 19 vodka sodas.
Yeah.
And like everything is sponsored by Sky Vodka that day.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of Sky in here, but he's like keeping it together and like not becoming an insane alcoholic.
No, yeah, it's
so
like,
much liver damage.
Yeah, I think he's having like just a normal gay amount of like 7 vodka tonics.
Yeah, I think, no, it's a normal gay 7.
Yeah.
And he's not doing that every single night.
No, it's like awards night. And I just also love him just being like, ugh, In Style Awards, gotta get out of here.
No, it's always the most B-list event. I mean, it's always, okay, every story in this book is like, so I'm wearing a blazer.
Yeah, like, it's like, when is he not in a velvet Roberto
Cavalli? It's always
Cavalli.
In a Cavalli velvet blazer. And then just like, and I couldn't decide whether to wear the Versace blazer. Sorry, Donatella, don't hate me. Like, every single story is like, and then I'm waiting for my Cavalli blazer while I'm in traffic trying to get to the Shrine Auditorium for the InStyle pre-show awards. And my blazer isn't ready.
And everything, all the chapters start just like 2:45 p.m., the 4:05 pre Nickelodeon Choice Kids VH1 Awards.
Yeah, it's very just like, and I told Amanda Bynes she looked great. She didn't say anything. So much for her.
Celebrity Book Club.
This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc.
You're trying to find a cause for your symptoms.
Achy back, headache, runny nose, itchy eye, wart on my genitals.
So let me guess, you stumble down a TikTok rabbit hole full of questionable advice from so-called experts.
Suddenly I have cancer? No thank you.
There are better ways to get the answers you want and the care you deserve from trusted professionals and not random people on the internet. Though randoms, I love you, and my TikTok addiction, yeah, it stands.
But I'm sorry, Lily, you shouldn't be getting medical advice from some girl in her grandmother's basement in Toronto.
ZocDoc helps you find expert doctors and medical professionals that specialize in the care you need and deliver the type of experience you want.
That's right. Ditch the talk, get the doc. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun.
No more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't met yet.
I love a trusted guide, like the time I climbed to Machu Picchu on the Inca Trail with a team of Sherpas. Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient-reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. So find your Sherpa at ZocDoc.com. Go to ZocDoc.com/bookclub and download the ZocDoc app for free.
Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Slay. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZOCDOC.com/bookclub. ZocDoc.com/bookclub.
Ditch the talk. Okay, so he's in Montreal. He starts doing a fake psychic character on like a radio show.
And then he starts working,
he worked for Just for Laughs.
As a
PR person. And he was like, I was so bad at my job because I would arrive late to every single event because I was like deciding what blazer to wear.
And then he gets fired, but it's so fabulous. And his boss is like, honey, like, you shouldn't be organizing. You're not like a booker. Like, you should be in front.
You should be in front of the camera. Well, it's very true. And it's like, I think, you know, you and I are the same way, where it's like, we are too gay for an office.
Well, that is the thing I feel like when I got out of college, you know, and I was like, well, I know I want to work in television and film.
Right.
So I thought, like, the normal just, like, thing to do is become, like, a production girl, an office. And I was like, wait a second. Like, I'm not meant to just, like, write emails spreadsheets.
You can't.
No, I'm
you're
for the
capable.
Front of the camera.
You're a wild, untamed beast.
Absolutely untamed beast, not meant to be like, Heather, this is Heather.
Yeah. And like every job he has that's like not just like being sassy and fabulous on camera, he fails at. And then when he's in LA, when he writes a column for Bang magazine called The Young and the Guest List, which I'm obsessed with.
No, every job he has, like, I want. Oh, wait, I don't have the passage, but one of his jobs was inspecting Goofies.
You just open the book to like a random page and hope that you were going to land on it?
This line just... absolutely random. Every little Jewish Romanian prince has a big red carpet moment. In the Jewish religion, your bar mitzvah is a religious ceremony followed by a party to signify leaving boyhood at age 13, becoming a man. Even if your legs are as smooth and hairless as Sarah Michelle Gellar in a slit evening gown, you go to Hebrew school, learn the prayers, and it's like, what?
No, the amount of like 03 references in the book is like chock full of them. Her legs are as smooth as Sarah Michelle Gellar.
No, I just meant to say one of his jobs was inspecting Goofy costumes, which feels very me.
Oh, when he worked at Disney. Yeah, and like Goofy dolls. And he was like, sorry, I bet some kids got some Goofies with fucked up noses. It's not my fault. Hope they didn't scare you too much.
Moving on.
I was too busy wearing Roberto Cavalli blazers.
And then he'll be like, oh, can you believe I was wearing that? Totally garbage polyester shirt. And then it'll be a photo of him like today in the same shirt. And he's like, look at me in my vintage poochie shirt.
Yeah, no, it's very
like, the style hasn't changed at all.
You're still wearing just like the tightest, insane patterned shirts and like flare jeans and have your just like full, like crazy Kate Gosland flat ironed hair. And he's like, yeah, I made some crazy mistakes. Sorry, I thought I was Lenny Kravitz, but I looked more like an escapee from a mental asylum.
Okay. Can I read the Jennifer Tilly quote that he pulled in his short tenure at Us Weekly?
Yeah.
My first article was about Tom Ford's arrival at Gucci. Five people wrote, in quotes, this article, and I contributed one sentence. When you see Tom's things, says actress Jennifer Tilly, a fan, there's almost an uncontrollable I've got to have it feeling. As a stranger, you just gather the quotes and send them to the editors who make all the prose all pretty. It's like, yeah, the folks over there at Us Weekly making
yeah,
the
that
prose.
Gorgeous prose.
You don't get to write anything. I got the Jennifer Tilly quote. Still, to me, this was a gigantic accomplishment. I mean, if I was able to land a Tilly quote,
no, it would be
huge,
like,
for me.
Absolutely put it on your tombstone.
So he works his way up from us. He gets fired and then... Does he get the people job?
He has lunch with that like people woman and she's like, you should try writing for us like and do style things. And then he's like doing kind of like the Style Watch column and like making so many puns and just being like,
Carrie Ann Moss. Like Carrie Ann Moss is wearing so much green, she looks like she's covered in moss.
Okay, and then did you read the part about the dinner with Salma Hayek?
Oh, where she talked about being in the sauna with Ashley Judd, and Ashley Judd was so comfortable being nude, and
yeah.
Salma Hayek like wasn't comfortable. And I was like, okay, fab of Ashley Judd to be so like, whatever, this is my body.
This is me. But then Salma, no, the thing about that dinner, though, was like at Jeff Zucker's house, which, by the way, Jeff Zucker's name is mentioned every page in this book.
Well, it's very
former head of NBC.
Yeah, because his whole career is in that like portion where of that like portion of media history where it's just like there was like such a sort of conglomeracy around like a couple,
NBC,
and there was like so many different like streams where they would be like putting. Like, he was, like, always doing a Today Show segment and then being shuffled into, like, the nightly E-Report segment.
Right.
And then, like, being used in so... And, like, they had such a budget to be sending people to, like, Milan to do, like, Today Show Fashion Week reporting, which is so insane.
For, like, Con?
It's, like, that's so, like...
That money is gone.
No, it's, like, Barbara Bush is not sending, like or Jenna Hager Bush. Jenna Hager Bush is not sending, like... a correspondent to Milan for fashion.
Milan. To talk about like Tom Ford's new show. But Salma Hayek at the Zucker dinner, and he's so offended, even though it's like, well, obviously Salma is thinking that. She turns to him and she's like, don't put this in one of your little articles. And she's being so like looking down on him because
and he's like,
a people writer. And he's like, how dare she say that? And he's like, so I never spoke a word of it until now. Sorry, Salma.
Okay, when he calls P. Diddy the ultimate good time, Charlie. And it's like, okay. And he's like, P. Diddy was always taking his shirt off to get people to dance.
Yeah.
And then he sent me a free bottle of like Prosecutino like at a Miami club.
And then he's like, sorry, I'm going to call J-Lo a slut 90 times in this book.
She went from little slut to little princess. And he's like so nervous the first time he calls J-Lo a slut on TV. And then he's like, and he was like, and I kept checking my blind to see if P. Diddy was going to come kill me. Well, he never did. And after that, I just let it rip.
Shaking in the velvet blazer.
Okay, I do feel like he randomly has a huge dick.
Yes.
Because yes, A, he has big dick face.
Thank you. Yes.
B, he talks about
big
it in
nose,
this.
Big nose, big teeth.
In this random way where he's always being just like, and honey, yeah, it's called a male thong. Like, I don't think men should have panty lines either, but let's just say I wasn't getting the support I needed. And then Matt Lauer said, well, you've got quite the package going on. Suffice to say, I burned the pants after that. Sorry, Roberto.
No, I also can see him, like, having a guy over, and it's just like, you think he's going to be the bottom because he's the biggest fag in the world, and then he's just throwing them down on the bed and just like
absolutely.
Railing him all
top,
the way back to Romania. He is definitely very just like obsessed with Matt Lauer, again, NBC fam. And he's like, he talks away also in this Kathy Griffin way about these just random like male interviewers like a David Letterman and Matt Lauer. He's like, Matt totally gets it.
Right.
And he was
nicest
just,
guy in the business.
Just, okay. Yeah. And he was just cracking up and I was giving it to him and he was giving it to me back. And Katie got it and they were amazing.
No, the way he says people get it, he's like, I'm sorry. Like, Jennifer Tilly is just down to earth, okay? Yeah. Callista Flockhart, I don't think so. She can suck it.
But yeah, his list of like who's nice on the red carpet and who's not, he's always like, Cameron can take it. Like, Hillary Swank, she can take it. Callista, huge bitch.
Yeah, he calls Callista a demon of the red carpet, along with Madonna. And obviously, like, Madonna is so humorless and is just like, I cannot speak to you. Okay, wait, this is so random. Helen Hunt?
Oh, right, yeah.
Testy, testy, testy. How can someone be so cranky and uptight while we're in a free Gucci ground? Silk charmeuse is enough to plaster a smile on my face for an entire day.
Calling
like,
Helen
not
Hunt.
Helen Hunt being testy.
Koju's face now is just classic, like, Lisa Rinna gay filler.
He looks like Lisa Rinna.
Exactly like Lisa Rinna.
And that's cool.
I was watching some random, must have been like 2011 clip of him on like a different morning show about him launching his website, styledbystephenkojakar.com. And he was promoting, he was like, I'm a stylist, I'm a host, and now I'm a digital entrepreneur.
Okay, wait.
Okay, well,
okay,
I'll
wait.
Just finish he's, what he says in the Styled By, where he has this girl on who's going to be like on the Food Network. And he was like, and she She asked me, is this dress appropriate for a food meeting? And I said, oh, honey, no. You can't be showing the sleeves. And he goes, and he's like, but what's her name? Giada? And he, and they're like, Giada? And he's like, anyway, yeah, she's going to be taking Giada to task. Her food is amazing. And he's putting her in like a, just a cap sleeve dress. And he's offering, he's like, so I offer 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour consultations. And honey, if the credit card clears, you own me.
Can I say though, him being a digital entrepreneur, he's still really funny.
Yeah, he's so funny.
His like Instagram is like, he's still like taking to task, like just like the Met Gala. And like, he's literally making funny jokes and is doing commentary that no one else is doing. And I'm kind of like, okay, literally go off. Like,
I mean,
you're
I
funny.
Hope this episode like kind of brings him back.
Yeah, I know. We can have a renaissance. Because, and he's like still, and he's making fun of himself, and he's like, I'm on his Instagram. This post that has 8 likes, which is
iconic.
Absolutely iconic. And it's just him like tearing down St. Vincent for her Grammys. Wait, look,
yes.
Which I love. I'm yes. like, thank you. No one is tearing
no
down
St.
Saint-
no, I'm, it would just be like.
And he goes, Liberace Cabana look Palm Springs 1968. St. Vincent and Blight on Humanity Gucci teamed up to destroy fashion. And not destroy in the way the fashion kids use the word. Is that a candelabra in your pocket?
Stop.
Yeah. We are like, how does this only have 8 likes? This
how
is brilliant.
Is he, like, no one else taking down
St. Vincent.
No one
else is
doing
this. And everyone's, and like, the only commentary you hear now, I feel, is like, it's like so Diet Prada just being like, and I love her work and she's amazing. And I don't think that this pink works. And like, the tailoring is like a little off on this piece. And I'd like to see her like showcasing like more Hungarian designers. But it's like,
it'd be like Brad from whatever Rachel Zoe project being like, we're seeing a lot of red on the carpet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like this Antony level observation.
You're like, cool, you see colors.
Cool, you fucking dumbass, Brad.
Stupid
Borsi. No, Kojo is still literally slaying.
Kojo is queen.
I will say his hair now is being a little bit more like, you know, it's super. He actually kind of looks like Patti Smith now, which is kind
yes.
of cool.
No, it is.
And he is doing leather jacket, and the hair is actually looking like more naturally tousled, and it's not so Ryan Seacrest like fried.
I wonder what he thinks of Seacrest. Is okay. he like, he gets it?
So he actually, it's really funny to say that. Okay. He posted a photo of Seacrest April 18th.
Oh.
And it's Seacrest in this double-breasted, like, dark green suit. So here for this fab moment in men's fashion with guys serving a bold color and even bolder, super sharp vibe. Bravo, Ryan Seacrest, on this debonair green double-breasted dandy mood. Oh, R.S., do you remember when I was on your talk show in the tightest jeans ever seen on a young sylph and my circulation stopped and the paramedics had to be called? XO Kojo.
He's there to be like, Gwenna's boobs sag and Madonna's mean, but I don't think, I feel like he has this very like 90s Hollywood gay code glass closet. But it's also like, he isn't mentioning.
He literally never talks about his sex life. He like never.
And he's like, yes, I am an openly homosexual man.
But he does not talk about coming out of the closet at all.
No, which is kind of cool.
I mean, actually, okay, I totally agree, and I think it's awesome and punk that he's not being so chaste and Buttigieg and just, like, writing this book about being,
this
like,
full thing.
I came out. It's like, bitch, no one cares.
It's
and like, it's like,
I think it's
you.
Like, we knew, like, his Transylvanian yeah. mom, like, got
no,
it.
I think, and of course, if this book were written today, the editors would have never let him not put the coming out story
Mm-mm-mm.
in. And they would have been like, and please talk about your work with the Hillary Clinton campaign in 2015.
Right, yes.
And like, and do talk about like your position on abortion rights and talk about your coming out story. Like, they would just have to make it like
this fake, weird,
this fake, like feel good fodder. And they would like, and it would
not
be like,
let him just have a bitchy fashion.
Just like have a bitchy fashion book. And like, and I love the part where he's just like,
that's better than coming out. That's just being
that's
gay.
Just literally
that's
being
just
gay.
Living out loud.
Living out loud, yes. And it's like, he, at one point, he's just like, honey, like, I was built for fluff. And it's just like, thank you.
Yeah, this is what this is. It's Red Carpet Diaries.
Celebrity Book Club.
Hey, fellow commuters. How do you get through all those chores and creative projects? Podcasts. But do you want more of us? Well, subscribe to patreon.com/CBCThePod, because you'll get 2 episodes a week of Celebrity Book Club with Lily and Steven. That's right. Bonus episodes come out Friday. Regats Wednesday. Sub now.
Here's a clip from this week's episode. So we pull up the menu and one crab, one single crab.
They're classic in the garlic butter.
Say it with me.
$75.
And it was like, and I could tell that the menu was...
Roberto Cavalli's segment blazer.
How does she live?
What does she eat?
What does she wear?
Okay, what does she eat? Can I say it? Duck wrap? I know you let me just say that he is so Wolfgang Puck airport duck wrap.
Yeah. No, yes to Wolfgang Puck. Yeah.
She's not a vegetarian. Dreaming. He's also so us. Like, I feel like he's so me at every, like, political fundraiser where I am so, like, shoving shrimp into my purse.
Yeah, no, I think he's shoving shrimp in the purse, bringing the Tupperware, and then is like, oh, mama, I shouldn't have had the shrimp last night.
Yeah, he's having explosive diarrhea at just, like, the side press room.
And I think he's not eating for, like, hours because he's, like, fitting into his, like, skin-tight Cavalli. And then at the InStyle after afters, he's like, finally, I can have the shrimp.
Yeah, and he's having, like, a Diavolo fettuccine. He's definitely just like, yeah, big...
Cobb Diavolo.
Big cobs, big plates.
Yeah, and it's like, it's I've had his, you know, his parents, they had like hearty Romani. When he goes home, he's like, Mom, I'm not going to have your liver. And then like does have a Romanian feast.
Because he is kind of anorexic in high school for that moment when he starts dealing...
Oh, dealing speed.
Dealing speed to the other girls. Because he's like,
which again, he buys when he goes to Plattsburgh for his like Western wear shopping trips.
He sees an ad in a magazine for like, what was it called? Like Trim Spa, one of those things yeah. that was like such a diet pill. And he like gets a huge supply of it and starts dealing to all the girls. And then he was like, so I'm cracked out and shaking like 24 hours a day. No.
And he's like skin and bones. And like he goes to the prom with this like girl and they like don't just give him the photos. And he's like, and I realized they didn't give me the photos because.
Like I made her look so big because she was already like a big lacrosse girl and he was like such a skinny faggot.
Right. Which makes me also think that girl was a lesbian.
Yeah.
Because then at one point I was like, oh, too. Was she hiding a pregnancy? But it was like, no.
That's what I thought that scene was, too.
It also so could have been her hiding a pregnancy and him being so gay and being like, oh, so you destroyed the photos because I look disgusting. Yeah. It's like, no, she was a teen mom.
She was literally a teen mom. What does he wear? I mean, he's just still wearing
still
insane
Cavalli,
fur coats
Cavalli.
And Cavalli. And just like...
And everything is like moose fur, mink, dyed pinks.
I guess what is insane about him is that he's always like... He is pretty like cutting and accurate for the most part about, I think, like what people look good in. And like,
But his style is
insane.
Out of control.
It's out of control and it's never changed. And it's just like... It's like Lenny Kravitz doesn't even really look good in what he wears. And it's like, you really don't look. It's like, he would look so much better in some different silhouettes.
Yeah, if he just tried like a slightly looser pant.
Slightly looser pant and like a slightly looser tee. Because it's like, he has, and I say this as someone who has a huge head. It's like, he has a large head.
And he's also still doing this, like, some of the shirts there probably are like so Fred Siegel in the $2,000.
I'm buttoning them all the way down because he's like, my concave chest is my best feature. That's great that you love your concave chest. And just
absolutely.
Like, I would
same.
Too. And yeah. I've always wanted just like an insane concave chest. But like, I think that you should actually kind of like, you should wear more of like a big tee that hangs off of you and imply the concave rather than just show it. You
well,
know?
Almost if you went a little more 80s, like it would be fun to see him still, yes, in a vintage Pucci shirt, but a little bit like bigger.
And literally he knows this because he'll say like, and I started dressing like Prince. And like, suffice to say, like, I didn't look as good as Prince did. And it's like, yeah, because Prince is like 5'1".
No, he gives the same like... review to him that he is giving all these like plain Janes where he's like, cover up your arms, and he's like, oh, I wish I could look like Prince, I wish I could look like Rod Stewart,
right? And like then he's like, and I was looking at his Instagram where he's doing all his like really like cutting accurate fashion journalism, and he'll be like, I'm so tired of the like cutout trend, like it looks so cheap, and it's just like, oh, true. And he's just like Nicole Kidman, like send this dress back to like the trash compactor in Transylvania where it came from. And it's like, yeah, she should. But then he's still wearing just like the most,
the
just
same
like,
1998
the most, like, Kitson. Like he's so Kitson.
No, he's Siegel Kitson, like
tight, like cut off tank
again. like tiger striped blazer. And then on this, again, on this weird segment where he was pushing his website, he was wearing like just like a cheap polka dot button up and like a pink skinny tie.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is...
I also think he's also obsessed with, like, he did that gay thing that I did where I, like, overpluck my eyebrows in high school.
Overplucking, overfrying.
And it's like, he's just like, and thank you to Anastasia for keeping my brows in line for the past 300 years. And it's just like, you would look better if you had a stronger brow, in my opinion.
The hair dysmorphia, where yeah. You're like, okay, you know, burnt here, and, less here.
And I remember, because I thought the same thing, where I was just like, I have such a big nose that I need to have, like, more shapely, like, more, like, arched eyebrows to make up for it.
I mean, again, this is all of your theories. It's crazy gay dysmorphia. Where you're always telling me to, I mean, I know you're going to stand by this, but it's like...
Well, I'm right about that, and you know I am. I already know what you're going to say. But...
My healed.
But I, no, I'm saying I was wrong about my eyebrow thing in high school. I get it now. Like, I need, like, as bushy eyebrows as I can have, like, just because they're sexy in general. And I'll say that for anyone. We all know. I mean, we all know big eyebrows are in right now. Whatever. That's not like revolutionary for me to say.
And I've been rocking them since day one. And, you know, my grandmother, you know, she plucked, and then they never grew back.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, a lot of people made that mistake.
They did.
In the early 2000s.
Or the 1920s. Yeah.
Oh, when you were trying to be like Greta Garbo. Anyway, he's still dressing in a
completely
really insane way.
Well, on the cover, by the way, he's wearing like a full Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat suede patchwork. With like beaver fur, huge flare jeans, boat neck, black top, and platforms.
Yeah, the flares are.
I mean, he looks like he's on the first season of The L Word here.
Rolling into the planet.
Yeah.
Okay, how does he live? Do you think it's so like Janice Dickinson marble floors, like tufted white bed, because he loves leather.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of leather.
And I can picture like a white lacquer bed with like white tufted bed.
And it's
headboard.
Huge cow print rug.
Like, and then like zebra print pillows.
Yeah, like it's Bobby Trendy, but like a little less.
Yeah. A little less.
Just a tiny bit less.
Because then he's always just like posting a photo on his Instagram of just like, you know, Emily Blunt and just being like, thank you, Emily Blunt, for getting the memo that less is more.
Right. So I bet like there are some pieces that are just like randomly like suburban Romanian Jewish in his apartment.
Oh, just like the most like weird, like embroidered, like...
Like
blanket over a chest.
Yeah, over some chest. And he's like, my mom gave me this amazing plates. But then the rest is like white lacquered leather headboard. And they're all like custom pieces he is ordering from Italy. I also want to say, like, he owns an apartment. I'm just like, does he have a house?
I'm wondering what
do you rent
the worth, the net worth, and the income situation is. Because it's like, I'm sure he had like a really fabulous contract in 2002 with NBC.
Definitely. And if he invested well and saved well.
And it's very that thing where it's just like, are you the kind of gay who had a finance friend who was like, you need to invest and like, and he just like bought an apartment that was an amazing investment and now it's like worth so much? Or was he being
I'm
hoping he did, but he also could have been so gay and just like was literally spending it all
on blazers.
On blazers. And then
well, you know when that revelation comes
struggling.
When they hire him a stylist for some show and he's like so confused because he's like, wait, this is so easy because I spend 9 hours of my day choosing blazers. So now someone will choose my blazer.
Yeah.
And he's like, I have so much time now in the day. There's like a framed blazer that he wore at like the 2003 Vanity Fair Awards.
I mean, that's
that
what like
on the mannequin.
That's what like what's his name, Bobby from Queer Eye would do if he like redid his house.
Right, he's like, you love fashion, right?
And like they would like frame all of his like invites to the Kids' Choice Awards in 2002, yeah. Like on a wall of framed invites. I feel like it's maybe more there's a drawer in the office that's full of the invites.
Okay, drawer of invites. And then, like, frame photo of him and Donatella.
Yeah, I think there's a couple frame photos of him and Donatella. And, like, because in the photo section of this book, also what I love is that he writes over and over again, photo courtesy of the author. And it's just like, and again, photo courtesy of the author. It's like, we didn't need the photo credit. And it's like three photos of him and Angie Harmon, who is also a Republican, by the way.
Angie Harmon is.
Yeah. Although I'm sure Angie Harmon is like so like never Trumper. Okay.
Okay, quickly, who are you in the book? You are Stephen Kojukaru.
This book is written by me.
It's written by you, Stephen. I am is the girl that asks you to prom.
No. Are you the, like, angry landlord in Beverly Hills who, like, makes him sleep in the garage?
Oh, yeah, who's like, okay, I'll give you this room. It's above a garage.
No, you're Angie Harmon.
I'm Angie Harmon. I'm married to a football player. I'm a Republican star.
You're a Republican faghead. Like, you literally are.
And you're putting me in just a beautiful silk dress.
No, and we're literally, I'm just being like, hi, literally, I'm marrying you. Yeah. Sorry, get rid of your husband.
Fine by me. Okay, I give this book 5 sequined mink Roberto Cavalli blazers out of 5.
Yeah, no, I give this book literally 6 cowboy boots out of 5. It's an incredible read.
It's an incredible length. It's 160 pages. Every
the length is slaying me, honey.
It's prose. It's prose. It's Us Weekly prose.
And I think it's also time. Hello, E! Producers, if you're listening, let's bring Kojo Karu back.
Thank you.
Into some sort of like red carpet commentary position. Create a new position for him. He is still really funny. He still has it, and I think that he would really benefit from like a video segment where you could just like edit
give him
together
dresses.
His best quips and like give him stuff to say. He would really nail it.
NBC, Freeform.
Yeah. Freeform, get on it.
Get on it now. Okay.
We're ready for the Kojo Renaissance.
We are, and we're starting it today. Join us in the revolution.
Next week, you will be treated to none other than Untamed by Glennon Doyle, wife of Abby Wambach.
Live from San Francisco.
The city of... It's not the city of brotherly love. That's Philadelphia.
No.
It's a gay city.
It's a gay city, and you'll hear all about the city and how to become untamed next week.
Stick around for Friday's VIP Lounge, where we're going to talk about San Francisco.
Talk about tour in LA. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be wild. Best. Celebrity Book Club is presented by the fabulous Prologue Projects. They look amazing in a shift dress. The show is produced by Benjamin Fritsch, who has the most stunning legs I've ever seen, with editorial support from Leon Nafok. How does he pull that hair off every day? If I could do it, I would give away my firstborn. Andrew Parsons, who is, God's gift to women. And Madeline Kaplan, who has a closet I would kill for. And when I say kill, I mean murder. Our production manager is Persia Verlin. She bought me my very first fur stole. I'll never forget it. And when I say bought, I mean I stole it. That's right, I stole a stole. Original theme song by Stephen Phillips Horst. He's basically what I aspire to be. That's right, a rock star. Artwork by Teddy Blanks at Chips and Y. I saw him coming out of a bathroom at the 2003 Milano Pepperidge Farm Awards in Philadelphia. And wow, I can just say he looked like he'd had a pretty fun time in there. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CBDCBot. I know it's weird. Hello, we all have to do it. I'm even on TikTok these days. It's wild. I don't like to do what the kids are doing, but at the same time, I think they're amazing. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app. That's right, we're doing podcasts now. It's the new millennium. Whatever happened to Y2K? I thought all the computers were going fried. Leave us a review and don't forget to tell your friends about us. Yeah, if you even have any of those. And don't forget to subscribe on Patreon.com for access to the VIP Lounge. If you know me at all, you know that the only place I want to be is a VIP Lounge. That's right. The lounge within the lounge. The room within the room where all the celebrities are. I'm talking Tom, Nicole, George, Julia. That's right. The big four, sweetheart. Get in that lounge. See, Patreon.com/CBCThePod. I'm not going to tell you again. XO Kojo.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.